Good evening, everybody. I just want to begin with a correction, a mistake that I made last week, which Mike Smith pointed out, and he's absolutely correct. We had the shiur last week about borer on Shabbos, and one of the examples I gave was when you have a plate of deli, and you have turkey on top and pastrami on the bottom. I'm not interested in the turkey. I only want the pastrami. I'm just beginning with a correction from last week. So I thought that that should fall under the regular klalim of Hilchos Borer on Shabbos. So Maish pointed out that the Mishnah Berurah writes in a bir halacha, in a lengthy bir halacha, that would be called siluk. If all I want is the item on the bottom, and I'm just removing the top items just to get to the bottom item, that would be considered siluk and not borer, and that would be permissible on Shabbos. It is a very complicated thing to figure out where we draw the line between siluk and borer. That's what I was arguing last week. I'm not quite clear exactly how to draw that line. After speaking it over at length with my father this week, he thought that the difference would be as follows. If I now have this plate of deli, and all I want is a piece of pastrami that's underneath the turkey, that would be mutter to move away all the turkey and get the pastrami from underneath, as that would be siluk. However, if I have this big tray of deli, and now I want to separate them into two different plates, I want to take all the deli that's turkey and put it on this plate, and all the pastrami and put it on the other plate, that would be a malacha of borer b'Shabbos, but otherwise he thought it should be permissible. You have to go through the different cases. I don't think this is clear at all. As much as the Mishnah Berurah does say that specific case, I don't think this is very clear because the Achronim do talk about a case of svarim, borer on svarim, when you have svarim laying around on the table. Not sure how you figure out what's the difference between svarim on a table that are piled one on top of the other and deli on a platter that's piled one on top of the other, or when you have jelly beans. You just missed it. We were just pointing out a mistake that I made last week. Yes, you are late. So we were pointing out a mistake that I made last week that you were arguing, and you are 100% correct. When you have the deli platter and you want the item that's on the bottom, Mike Smith pointed out that the Mishnah Berurah says that that would be called siluk and not borer, to take away all the turkey and get the pastrami underneath. Okay.
That was the tongue.
The tongue, perfect. Okay. Okay, so we still, we're clarifying a little more, but I think the intricacies of figuring out where to draw the line by different types of items is still left to be determined a little bit. So now let's get to the sugya of this evening. This week in the Daf Yomi, we had the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Ayin Tesim Abayz that told us about Malim Bakodesh Vlo Maridin. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Tfilin Shabalu, Sefer Torah Shabala, if I have tfilin that get worn out, or I have a Sefer Torah that gets worn out, Einos Mehem Mezuzah. I'm not allowed to take a pair of tfilin, the parshias of tfilin, and use them for a mezuzah. I'm not allowed to take a part of the Sefer Torah and put it into my mezuzah. Hefisha'ein Maridin Mekdusha Chamura L'Kedusha Kala. Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Tesim Beis, Malim Bakodesh Vlo Maridin. This is a very well-known Gemara. But many of us probably have not really looked into the makor, the original foundation of this halacha. So let's look at Menachas Taf Tzadi Tesem and Aleph, which is where the Gemara spends time looking into this halacha, and we'll see where this rule would apply, where this rule would not apply. So number one, the Gemara says in Menachas Taf Tzadi Tesem and Aleph, Minalan de Emoridin. The Gemara tells us, how do we know that one is not allowed to take an item and lower it from its original status of Kedusha? Says the Gemara, Amar Rebbe de Amar Kra, Vayakem Moshe es HaMishkan, Vayiten es Adana. Moshe Rabbeinu by the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim goes ahead and erects the Mishkan every single day. Vayiten es Adana, Vayasem es Kirasha, Vayiten es Bricha, Vayakem es Amudav. Okay, so what do you see from there? Rashi explains, which you'll see here, Rashi in the parentheses says, from the fact that Lo Siyu Echav HaKohanim, Moshe Rabbeinu is the God of Ador. So all the Kohanim are standing by the wayside, watching Moshe Rabbeinu work his head off, putting the Mishkan up, taking it down every night, every morning. How could it be no one's helping him? Says the Gemara, must be, you see from there, that Lo Maridin, one is not allowed to lower the status of Kedusha. And from the fact Moshe Rabbeinu was the God of Ador, and he spent time every day erecting the Mishkan with his own two hands, therefore the rest of the days of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, no other Kohanim that were on a lower status than he was were able to get involved in the erection of the Mishkan. So that is how we know Ein Moridin. Now the Gemara continues, Minalan de Malin. All we know from Moshe Rabbeinu is that you're not allowed to go down in the level of Kedusha. You're not allowed to have any other Kohanim help him out. However, how do I know that one is Mechuyev to go up in levels of Kedusha? How do I know that? So the Gemara says, Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov Da Amar Kra, Es Machtos HaChatoim Ha'ela. So the Gemara brings a pasuk here by the story of Korach. So the Psukim tell us, they all had machtos, they all brought Ketores Lefnei Hashem, and as we know, it was an Eish Zara, but okay, they brought Ketores anyway. The Asu Asam, so the Pasuk says, you should take those Machtos that Korach Vahadasa used, and you should make from them Tzipu Lamezbeach. You should melt them all down, and use that as a gold plating, a gold cover for the Mezbeach. Ki Hikrivim Lefnei Hashem, Vayakdishu, because Korach Vahadasa used this as a way of being Makriv a carbon to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it became Kadosh. The Ramban Chumash asks, what do you mean? They were Makriv Eish Zara Lefnei Hashem. How can that become Kadosh? But whatever it is, whatever you're going to get around the Ramban's Kasha, but the Gemara over here learns out from the fact that Korach Vahadasa used these pans, used these Machtos for a Davar Shel Kodesh, so now you have to make sure to go up in Kedusha. And now, the Pasuk says that we have to make them into the Tzipa LaMezbeach, Ve'yu La'os Levnei Yisrael. That's the end of the Pasuk, that a person has to make sure he goes up in levels of Kedusha, and therefore the Pasuk tells us over here, they had to take the Machtos of Korach Vahadasa and use them as a tzipui lamizbeach. The Ran writes in Shabbos Daf Tes, as well as the Maram Shikin and Tshuva, Prima Gadam has a suffix like this, but they believe that this is a din de'oraisa. Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin is not stam and asmachta ba'alma. It's a real bona fide din de'oraisa. And if you look in the Stechemedi, it's long, long arichas on this. It doesn't really make so much of a difference, but Lamaisa, we have this halacha of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin. Yeah.
Why would that be from Moshe Rabbeinu? I guess he wasn't the one that was doing it. In other words, he can't change the film to the mezuzah, it's for everybody. It's not just for
this week. Mm-hmm. And you can't do it for somebody else to do something either. You know, if the mezuzah is going to be bigger or smaller or whatever. But if the Moshe Rabbeinu, if the Mimos in the Malayim, somebody else did it. You will look
ahead of it. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I assume after the
Shiva Simeon
Miluim, the Mizbeach stayed up. No, I mean, the
Mishkan
stayed up, no?
Forever. And when they moved afterwards.
Somebody saying every time they moved away. I don't know. Got to think about that. What about all the rest of the times? I don't know, I have to think about it. What?
Torah specifically gave the tapia to the Mishkan to carry which one.
Right. Not just that. I mean, the Bechlal, there's a different kasha. How can the makar for Malam HaKodesh be for Moshe Rabbeinu? Over there, there was a mitzvah in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu has to build it. That's why he did it. That's why nobody helped him. That's a kasha in the Gemara. Don't tell me that that's the makar that Malam HaKodesh Shalom HaRidin. How do you see anything from there? Moshe Rabbeinu had to do it because if anyone else got involved, that would be an Isser. Moshe Rabbeinu himself had the mitzvah to do it and no one else was supposed to do it. So that's another kasha. I don't know. I didn't think of your point. It's a good point. So the Turiyevan writes in Maseches Megillah Daf Chaf Hayamid Beis. He asked the following question. Why does the Gemara, if you look carefully, the Gemara has Minalan DeLom HaRidin, number one. How do you know you're not allowed to go down in Kedusha? And then the Gemara says, Minalan demalan. How do you know you go up? Ask the Tori Evan, isn't it obvious? Once we know that the halacha is a maridin, so it's a kavachomer. I'm sorry, once we know that malin, once we know you have to go up in Kedusha, as you see from Korach Vahadasa, so it's a kavachomer that a maridin. So why do I need two psukim for these two different halachas, which seem to be very similar? So the Tori Evan writes a very fascinating chiddush, which he proves from the Gemara Mineu Bei. Says the Tori Evan as follows. There is no chiyuv for a person bedafka to go up in Kedusha. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara does not mean to say that. All the Gemara means to say is, we have a drasha number one which tells us, lo maridin, you're not allowed to go down in Kedusha. And that's the first drasha that we learn, which is from Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not allowed to go down. But then, says the Turi Evan, I would have thought that cheftze shamayim, that cheftze Kedusha, have a din like Kachim. And what's the halacha by Kachim? Let's say I have a carbon. Am I allowed to switch its level of Kedusha even to a higher level? No. You're not allowed to switch a level of Kedusha of a carbon at all. You can't tamper with it. Once it's Kachim, it's locked into that specific arena of Kachim and it can't be elevated at all, even to a higher status of Kedusha. So the Gemara says, so the Turi Evan writes, the Gemara thinks that Hava Amina, that Chetzei Shemayim would be the same like Kachim, and the same way by Kachim, a person is not allowed to change the Kachim to any status. Whether it's higher or lower, you're not allowed to change it at all. So Havamina, the same would be over here. You're not allowed to change a Chefetz Shemayim even to go up. Therefore, we need a specific pasuk to tell you that you are allowed to be Malim B'Kedusha. It's not like Kachim. It has a separate status, it has a separate halacha, and even though this was serving us for a specific purpose, you are allowed to use it for a purpose which is higher than that original purpose that we used it. And he brings a raya as follows. He says, if you look in the Gemara learns, Minalan de Malan, how do we know you have to go up in Kedusha? So the Gemara learns it from the story by Korach Vahadasa. The Gemara learns it from there. So Frakt the Turi Eben, he says, what do you mean? If you look carefully in the end of the pasuk, what does it say? Why is it that we had to make it a tzipa lemizbeach? Says the Gemara, which is quoting really the pasuk, Mishum os v'zikaron levenei Yisrael. The reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make these machtos into a tzipa lemizbeach was that forevermore people should look at the mizbeach and remember what happens when you start up with the kuna? What happens when you start up with Moshe Rabbeinu? So how can you tell me over here, from this is the makar that malam HaKodesh? What do you mean from this is the makar? The reason why we made it at Tzipa LaMizbeach is because it should be an Oslo V'nei Yisrael. It has nothing to do with the Din Malam HaKodesh. So therefore, it says the Turi Eben, it must be that what you see from here is not that the Gemara is trying to prove that there's a Chiyuv to go up. All you see is that you are allowed to go up. And therefore, this question would really fall by the wayside. And that's why the Turi Eben explains, that's why our Gemara needed to have two separate makaras. One makar to tell us, Ein Moridin, but then another makar to tell us, Malim HaKodesh, which means I have a right, I have every bit of permission to bring this Chetzei Shemayim to a higher level of Kedusha, and it does not have the status of the Din of Kachim. So that's with regard to that. There is a Tazan Arachayim Simen Kufnun Hei, which writes a Chiddush that many Achronim discuss, as we'll see in a minute. The Taz says the following Chiddush. This that we say, Malim HaKodesh V'lo Maridim. What's the halacha if, let's say, I have a Kedusha item that cannot be used for any purpose that is greater than it? So what's the alternative? What am I supposed to do? Bury it, right? You bury it in the ground. So, for example, the Taz says in Arachayim Kufnun Dalet Siv Zayin, let's say you have an Aron Kodesh and Nishbar. Rachman al-Litzlan, you have an Aron Kodesh that cracks, it breaks, and now someone dedicates a new one. So we can't use the Aron Kodesh for any other purpose. What are we going to do with it? Make tables out of it? That's a lower level of Kedusha. So what are you supposed to do? Says the Taz, if the alternative is to take the broken Aron Kodesh and bury it, and now no one's going to use it, so the Taz says, make a table out of it for the Beis HaMedrash. Make a bench out of it for the Beis HaKnesses. It's better that it should be used for some form, for some function of Kedusha, than that it should sit in the ground for the rest of its life. That's the Chiddush of the Taz, and the Taz believes that this can be proven from a bunch of different places. The other Achronim have a very difficult time understanding the Taz, and let's just go through a couple of Gemaras that they point out. Number one, the Avni Nezer has the following problem with this Chiddush of the Taz. Let's see, the Avni Nezer quotes the Gemara in Yuma Dav Yud Beis Amud Beis, which is number two, where the Gemara over there is talking about the big day Kohen Gadol when he's doing the Trumas Hadeshen. So the Gemara says as follows. We find the pasuk by the Trumas Hadeshen, it says Al Bisaro, that the Begadim have to be Al Bisaro, on his body. Says Rashi, Gabi Trumas Hadeshen Ksiv, it says in Vayikra, Perek Vav, V'lavash HaKohen Mido Bad, Michnasei Bad, Yilbash Al Bisaro. So we have a pasuk. V'lavash HaKohen Mido Bad, Michnasei Bad. So the Kohen has to wear the clothing. And then, again, the pasuk repeats the word V'lavash. He has to wear. So what does it mean? Yilbash al basara. V'havale lemichtav v'michnase bad al basara. Why do we repeat this word, yilbash? Taksibe resha dekrav alavash. So says the Gemara, back after the parentheses, in number two, ma tamalomar yilbash. Why do we have this extra word of yilbash that the Kohen Gadol, when he's doing the Trumas Hadeshen, must wear clothing? Says the Gemara, lahavi mitznefes v'avneit laharamas hadeshen divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, the reason why it's reiterated is because it's coming to tell me that this is considered an avodah gemurah, as Rashi points out, and you need to wear all the begadim the same way you would wear the begadim for anything else. I could have argued that Trumas Hadeshen is taking out the garbage. This is not an avodah. Wearing pajamas, wear whatever you want. Whatever you would wear to take out the garbage in your house. So why can't he wear it in the Beis HaMikdash? No. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda believes that this is considered a real avodah, and that's why it says yilbash, to tell me that it's not taking out the garbage. This is considered something special. The Gemara then continues, Rav Dosa Omer Lahavi Big Day Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim Shehem Ksherim L'Kohen Hedyu. So Rav Dosa has a difference of an opinion, and Rav Dosa believes that why does the pasuk tell me Yilbash? Yilbash comes to teach me that a Kohen Hedyu, when he's doing the avoda of Trumas Hadeshen, is allowed to wear the begadim of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Very interesting Chiddush. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Omer, Shtei Tshuvas B'Davar. I have two problems with what you're saying. Problem number one is that Avneto Shakoin Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim Lo Zehu Avneto Shakoin Hedyot. The Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot have totally different begadim. One of them has kilayim in it, one of them does not have kilayim in it. So how can you tell me that a Kohen Hedyot during the regular course of Avodah during the year is allowed to wear the begadim of the Kohen Gadol? They're not the same. It doesn't work for him. It only works for the Kohen Gadol. Question number one. But question number two, which we're going to focus on, is va'od number two, as the Gemara begadim shenishtamish behem kedusha chamura tishtamish behem kedusha kala. Don't we know Gemara menachas tzadik tesim and beis malam hakodesh v'lo maridin? So how can you tell me? How can you tell me, Rav Dosa, that a kohen hedid is allowed to take the begadim of a kohen gadol and wear them when he's doing the chumas hadesha? That is the question that the Gemara leaves off with, and then the Gemara decides to learn something else from the pasuk of Yilbash, because we totally reject this opinion of Rav Dosa. Ask the Avnei Nezer, what is the kasha on Rav Dosa? Malam HaKodesh Ulam HaRidin, what right does a kohen hedyot have to wear the begadim of the kohen gadol? Well, I'll ask you a question. What does the Gemara say?
What was the avodah? The avodah we said, the whole chiddush was, I would have thought that Chumas HaDesh is like clearing out the garbage.
Right.
So it's not necessarily the fact that kohen gadol is wearing it. Look at the avodah that it was used for. These begadim were used for what avodah?
Lefnai v'lefnim. So the kasha of the Gemara is Malam HaKodesh Ulam HaRidin. How is a kohen gadol allowed to give his clothing to the kohen hedyot to use later on during the year? Ask the Avnei Nezer, what do you mean? If you look in the next line of the Gemara says Rav Dosa himself learns in the pasuk v'hinicham sham, that after Yom Kippur, a kohen gadol has to bury his clothing. Malam chetunim gniza, you have to bury them in the ground because they're so kaddish. So what do you mean? According to the Taz's Chiddush, if you have an option to either bury these clothing in the ground, that no one's going to use them ever again, what does the Taz tell us to do? Taz had a chiddush, instead of burying something in the ground because you don't have something to use it for a greater purpose, make it, okay, be maridim b'kedusha a little bit. Make it a little lower status of kedusha, but it should still be used. Why bury it in the ground? So what's the problem? You're asking me on Rav Dosa, how can a kohen hedyot use the begadim of a kohen gadol? I malam hakodesh ulam maridim. The answer is because the alternative is we're going to bury it in the ground. Everyone understands that kasha? That's the kasha of the Avnei Nezer against the Taz. Yeah. Again, that what? If you want to say...
The task can just answer what you mentioned numerous times about other things. V'nicham sham is a special finish.
It's Xeris HaKasiv.
That's it. Now, everything else, the task will be right. We're on Kodesh.
The Achronim see a little more behind this. We'll get into two more kashas, and then we'll bring the Yisoid that the Ar Sameach brings out from all of this. It's...
What is, I don't even understand the kasha. If the Torah says v'nicham sham, so how can you use it?
What do you mean, according to the Taz, why v'hinicham sham? Why do you have to bury them? There's different ways of interpreting the pasuk v'hinicham sham. There are different ways of interpreting the pasuk v'hinicham sham. So Rav Dosa decides, he interprets it, v'hinicham sham, buried in the ground. At the same time, Rav Dosa himself believes that a kohen hedyot is allowed to wear the begadim of the kohen gadol. Right? So you put those two things together, what is he saying? He's saying, like the chiddush of the Taz, that you're allowed to take the begadim of the kohen gadol, instead of burying them, give them to the kohen hedyot. On that, Frakti Gemara, Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin. What do you mean? That's not a kasha. The Taz just told us, any time where the alternative is to bury it, you may as well have someone use it. That's the kasha that the Avnei Nezer asked.
I'm not feeling married. He's wearing it and he's doing deference to the Malbush, but he's not altering it. He's not making it into a lesser type of cloth. Let's say
it's being used.
Making it from menorah,
right, but it's being used by a kohen hedyot as opposed to the kohen gadol. That's the same. Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan as opposed to any of the Kohanim. That's not being Morid. But we consider that is a Harad B'Kedusha. That is the whole Makar. So question number two. Yeah.
The beggar of the Kohen Gadol has shot this, so not even a plain Jew can't wear it.
Right.
So I mean, so it's not a question where the Urim is broken and you can make a bench out of it.
It's a bomb kasha. That's the Gemara's first kasha on Rav Dosa. That's exactly the Gemara's kasha. It's a very good kasha. So that's question number one on the Taz. Question number two that we have is from Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, this has a lot to do with the sugyas of Chanukah. So the Gemara says, Shebeish Chashmonai, Gonzu es Avnei HaMizbeach Sheshiktsu Anshei Yavan. Gemara tells us a whole story about when the Chashmonaim came to be Matar, the Beis HaMikdash, to rededicate it. So they were able to rededicate everything, all different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Mizbeach, they were not able to rededicate, and they had to bury it. That's what the Gemara says, because the Yevanim were Matami the whole Beis HaMikdash, and the Mizbeach does not lend themselves to Tahara B'Mikvah. Fine, so that's what the Gemara tells us. And we'll go through in a second. We spoke on Shabbos Chanukah, that Rav Shlomo Zalman points out a very novel idea, that maybe this is why the minig started to eat donuts on Chanukah. For anyone who remembers, Rav Shlomo Zalman pointed out, because He says we want to be mechayev ourselves in making an alamichya, because in alamichya we make a special bakasha for al mizbechacha. In benching, we don't ask for a bakasha for the mizbeach, whereas in alamichya we do make a bakasha specifically for the mizbeach. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman that since the Gemara tells us the mizbeach was the one item, was the one keli in the Beis HaMikdash, they were not able to be matar in the days of Chanukah, so we're making a special prayer, we eat something special which makes us chayiv in making a al hamichya, in order that we'll ask the special bakasha on Chanukah of al mizbechacha. Fascinating idea that Rav Shlomo Zalman points out about eating donuts on Chanukah. But anyway, over here, so the Gemara tells us as follows, Amar Rav Sheshes, Sheshiktsu ala avodas kochavim. They ruined the Beis HaMikdash because they used it for avodas zar. Amar Papa, Hasam Kra, Ashkach, Vidarish, Dechsevu, Baba, Pritzim, Chilalua. Fine, the Yevanim destroyed the Mizbeach, and they are Mechal of the Kedusha of the Mizbeach. Frek the Gemara, Amri Hechi Nabit. So the Chashmonaim are there, going through the Beis HaMikdash, and now they get to the Tamei Mizbeach. So they're saying to themselves, what should we do? Nitzbarinu, should we smash it? So the Gemara says, Avanim Shlema Samar Achmana. When I'm building a Mizbeach, it has to be made of complete stones. They're not allowed to be broken. So then the Gemara says, well, maybe Ninasrinu, maybe we'll smash it into pieces, and then we'll put it back together. Says the Gemara, no, because Losana Faleim Barzal Amar Achmana. I'm not able to use any metal items with the Mizbeach, with the construction of the Mizbeach. So therefore the Gemara says that's also not an option. To smash it apart and put it back together with metal, that's not permissible. Frek the Gemara v'amai, why do you tell me that you have to take the Mizbeach and bury it? Lizberinu, why don't you break it? L'shaklinu l'nafshayu. Let each one of the Chashmonaim take it home, and it will be his centerpiece on his table. Right, everyone sees where we're going with this. So the Gemara says, "Kivin deishtamish b'hu legavoa lav orach ara lishtamushe b'hu lehadyot." Malam Hakadosh v'lo maridin. Since it was used for a purpose of kedusha, since this is what we were makriv karbanos on, so therefore we no longer have the right to give it out to private individuals that they should use in their own homes.
That's beyond the Taz.
So what do you mean? According to the Taz, we have the following problem: they had the mizbeach. The mizbeach was not able to be, could not have been used for anything. So what do? They bury it in the ground. What do you mean? According to the Taz, if the alternative is to bury it in the ground, why don't you tell everybody, take it home, use it for a shulchan in the shul? Use it for anything. So you're saying, don't use it for a hedyut. Don't use it for a divrei chol. Use it for a davar shel kodesh. Use it for something. Use it in the shul. So why is it that over here, the Gemara tells us that they were not able to use the mizbeach for anything and they had to bury it. If you believe, like the Taz is chiddush, that a person is allowed to use a davar shel kodesh if the alternative is to bury it, so why is the Taz not applicable in these cases? So the Ar Sameach writes a fascinating chiddush in Hilchos Mezuzah, Perek Hey Halacha Aleph, that the only time the Taz says his chiddush of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin, and if the alternative is to bury it, you're allowed to use it for a kedusha, which is lower, says the Ar Sameach, that is only by Tashmishe Kedusha. What is Tashmishe Kedusha? For example, you have a Sefer Torah, and you have the cover of the Sefer Torah. That's called Tashmishe Kedusha. Or you have the tefillin bag. Or you have the cover on top of the shulchan. Those are all Tashmishe Kedusha. What's the Gufa Kedusha Atzma? That would be the Sefer Torah. That would be the tefillin. So the Taz, the Achronim write that the Taz only said his Chiddush when we're talking about Tashmishe Kedusha, items which are one step removed from the Kedusha itself. However, if you have Gufa Kedusha, if you have the tefillin, if you have the Sefer Torah, and the alternative is to bury it in the ground, it's better that it's buried in the ground than to use it for anything other than a aliyah in Kedusha. So that's the way the Ar Sameach answers all these questions. And with that he explains why the Mizbeach was not able to have been used for anything, because that's the Guf HaKedusha. This was a Kli Sharis, and he says the same applies to the Big Day Kahuna and the Beis HaMikdash. Why did the Gemara ask on Rav Dosa that Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin, a Kohen Hedyot can never wear the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol? Answer is, because even if the alternative is to bury it in the ground, the Taz will agree where it's the Kedusha Atzma, where it is the Sefer Torah, where it is the Tefillin, or where it is the Kli Sharis, so then it would have to be buried in the ground, and one would not be able to use it for any other purpose other than a Aliyah in Kedusha. There is another Gemara there in Yuma Yud Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara says an example where you have a Kohen Gadol, and as we know, the Gemara says in the beginning of Yuma that they used to always set aside another Kohen Gadol just in case this one became Tameh. So what happens? Lo and behold, a Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh. So what do we do? bring up the other guy from the bullpen, right? So now we have this other person being the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur. Okay, well, the day after Yom Kippur, the first guy comes back. He's ready to work. So now what do we do? Now we have two Kohen Gadols. So who works? The first one, right? Because he deserves his job. So what do you do with the second guy?
He has to sit around and do nothing.
Sit around and do nothing. What's going on? Why sit around and do nothing? So the Gemara says, we can't keep him as a Kohen Gadol because then there's going to be jealousy. And we can't put him back to the status of a Kohen Hedyo because Malam HaKodesh Shalom Aridin. What do you mean? If the Taz is correct, that what? That's something that's going to be buried in the ground and not used forever. So it's better to do it, to use with it some lower purpose. It's better to do something a little bit less with it than for it to go to waste. So if the Taz is correct, so why are we here by the Kohen Gadol? Do we say he's not allowed to serve as a Kohen Hedyot because Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin? What do you mean? The guy can be 30 years old and now for the rest of his life till he's 120 he's going to have to sit around doing nothing? That's like being buried in the ground. Answer is because over there, that is the Guf HaKedusha. Like the Nefesh HaChaim writes, a person, a Jewish person, is considered the Guf HaKedusha Atzma. Beis HaLevi writes this as well in the Drashos, Drash Yud Zayin, that a person is considered like a Sefer Torah. As we know, a person has to rip Kriya when he sees someone else pass away because it's like seeing a Sefer Torah Shenisraf. That's what the Gemara says. That a person has a status of a Guf HaKedusha Atzma. And therefore, we would assume that the Taz's Chiddush would not apply because the Taz's Chiddush only applies by something which is one step removed from the Kedusha itself. There's a fascinating tshuva in the Shalos HaTshuvos Chikrei Lev where he talks about a case that there was a shul that didn't have a rabbi. And they realized they needed somebody to paskin the shadows in between. So they took the most chashuv of Balabas, who was the most learned, and they decided that until they put the search committee together, until they find a rabbi that will suit the community, they're going to have this interim rabbi serving in between. The guy knew that he wasn't around forever. He knew he's just, you know, he'll be around to paskin shadows. So he's sitting on the mizrach, and this guy is answering all the shadows, and he's acting as the rabbi in between. And after a couple of years, they finally find a real rabbi that everyone agrees on. And he also agrees he's going to step down. So now the shaila was, should he still sit in the Mizrach? Or should we put him back to be with everybody else? Because this was a shaila that they sent to the Chikrei Lev. There was no fight. It was just a shaila. So the Chikrei Lev wrote back, you see from this Gemara by the Kohen Gadol, that once you're put up into a position of authority, even if it was only given to you as a temporary position, like the Gemara says over there, when we put the Kohen Gadol up, the backup Kohen Gadol, he knew that he was only there because there was an emergency. He knew he was only there for a temporary position. Still, he retains his status of Kedushas Kohen Gadol forever, and we're never allowed to lower him from that level of Kedusha. So he said the same would be over here. When you have a rabbi, even though he was only installed as the rabbi for a certain period in time, and everybody knew it was only a temporary position, still we would assume that once he's let go, he's not allowed to be treated with any less respect than he was beforehand. Everyone should, figure out wherever it applies. Okay, so that's with regard to the Chiddush of the Taz. Now let's move on to a little bit of a different angle when it comes to the din of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin. We have a Mishnah on Megillah Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis, which tells us that there's a difference between Tashmishei Mitzvah and Tashmishei Kedusha. Now, what are the definition? What are the terms that we're talking about here? Before we get into the halacha, so we said before, Tashmishei Kedusha means the bag for a tefillin zekel, or you have the cover for the Sefer Torah, you have the cover on the bima, you have the parochas here. That's all called Tashmishei Kedusha. What is Tashmishei Mitzvah? So the Gemara says those are simple mitzvah items. A shofar, tzitzis, lulav, talis, things like that, that I only use for a certain amount of time while I'm doing the mitzvah. But once the mitzvah is over, they have no significance to me at all. So the Gemara says, what is the marked difference between tashmishei mitzvah and tashmishei kedusha? So the Gemara says, tashmishei mitzvah, once I'm finished with my lulav and esrog after sukkahs, what do I do with it? Throw it out. However, once I'm finished with a bag for the tefillin, once I'm finished with the parochas, once I'm finished with the cover for a Sefer Torah, I'm not allowed to throw it out. I have to bury that in the ground. Now, it's worthy of pointing out that although we do paskin in Shulchan Aruch that once a person is finished with the tashmishei mitzvah, he's allowed to throw them out. For example, your tzitzis, you're allowed to throw them out. The lulav and esrog, you're allowed to throw out. That is only la'achar shenigmar mitzvasan. It's only after I'm finished using them for the mitzvah. So let's say a person comes on Rosh Hashanah, Sukkis, one day of Chalamayit, he decides, you know what, I had it with this esrog, throws it in the garbage. So that is for sure something that is not allowed, as we see in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, Simon Chaf Aleph, that a tashmish shel genai is not permissible. The Agos HaShari writes in Megillah that Arava Shebelulav, a person, even though he's allowed to throw out his Aravas after Sukkot, he's not allowed to step on them. He's not allowed to use them as carpet in his house, because that's a Tashmish Shel Ganai. As much as I'm allowed to throw them out, I'm not allowed to be mevaza them. The Shibali Alakit adds on, that would also apply for tzitzis, for sukkah. After I'm finished with my panels of the sukkah, I can't use it as a mattress or as a floor for my flooring in the house, because a tashmish shel ganai is not permissible. In fact, the Rama points out that even though one is allowed to throw out a pair of tzitzis, he has to be careful that he doesn't throw them out in a place with all the dirty chicken bones. He has to make sure he throws it out in a bag, that it's put away in a proper, nice way, it's disposed of. Yeah.
Talking about the film there, the box that's the film are in,
yeah.
Isn't that the tashmish and the bag with the...
Tashmish to tashmish.
One less...
Yeah, the Achredim do talk about tashmish to tashmish, something that's twice removed. But generally we assume that it's tashmish kedusha as well. That's generally what we assume. So the question is, what is the defining characteristic of a difference between something which is a tashmishe kedusha item and something which is a tashmishe mitzvah item? So my father writes in one of his svarim in Bepnini Arav, in the name of the Nefesh HaChaim, that the real source of any kedusha in this world comes from kedushas Torah Shel Ksav. The only thing that could emanate kedusha, that could instill kedusha into anything, is Torah Shel Ksav. If I have Torah which is written down. And he explains that this is the marked difference between Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha. Tzitzis and Sukkah and Lulav and Shofar, all these things have nothing to do with Torah Shebichsav. There's nothing to do. There's no Torah written on it. So therefore we assume those are only Tashmishe Mitzvah items. But when I have something which is hosting the Sefer Torah, something which is touching the Tefillin, something which is touching the Shulchan, which is what the Sefer Torah leans on, so anything like that is called Tashmishe Kedusha. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik added on that this is what the Kedusha of the Mishkan was really based on. It only came from the fact that it had the Luchos HaEdos inside of the Mishkan, and that's why the Mishkan was called Mishkan HaEdos, because the whole Kedusha of the Mishkan only came from the fact that it housed the Luchos inside of it.
The same thing applies to the Lock of
HaMikdash. Oh. So that's the question. The Rambam, very good, the Rambam points out in Beis HaBechira, in the fourth parak in Beis HaBechira, that Shlomo HaMelech built a little tunnel, a little storage cabinet underneath the Beis HaMikdash, and he stored the Luchos underneath there. So the question is, what is the Rambam a historian? Rambam just tells us historical facts that Shlomo HaMelech went to bury the Luchos underneath. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, others say the same as well, that no, it's imperative that the Beis HaMikdash has the Luchos in it. Without the Luchos, there is no Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the Rambam has to tell us that the whole Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash only came because Shlomo HaMelech decided to bury the Luchos underneath the structure and make sure that the foundation was always around the Torah Shel Ksav. In fact, the Rambam writes as well in Hilchos Tefillah in the 11th Perek that it seems that a shul that does not have a Sefer Torah in it really has no Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. Which is something to think about. We sometimes have breakaway minyanim, and you know, Friday night people make minyanim or mincha, whatever. You make little minyanim, so you have to think about that, unless it's a shasat chak. But lamaisa, we want to always daven in a shul. And the Rambam seems to say clearly that if it doesn't have a Sefer Torah in it, it does not have a Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, as much as we might daven in it. But the only thing that gives something Kedusha is that it has Divrei Torah inside of it. Along these lines, Rav Soloveitchik also explained that that is the Kedusha based on the Nefesh HaChaim. That is the Kedusha that each individual Jew has as well. Because the Gemara tells us in Nida that the Malach teaches us Torah before we are born. And therefore, Soloveitchik explained that that is what instills us with Kedusha. It's only because we have the Torah inside of ourselves before we are born, before we're created. Along those lines, he explained as well that that's why there's a mitzvah of kavura by a Jewish person who passes away, whereas by a non-Jew, there is no mitzvah of kavura. Why not? We do mitzvahs, they do mitzvahs, right? They could be the biggest gomel chasadim in the world, so why don't they deserve a kavura? Why don't we have a mitzvah? So Soloveitchik said, because Klal Yisrael is considered like Tashmishe Kedusha, because we are instilled with learning. We have Torah Shebichsav. However, the non-Jews, as much as they do Torah and Gemilas Chassadim, as much as they do whatever they do, that is at best a Tashmishe Mitzvah. And we know the Gemara tells us that Tashmishe Mitzvah are Nizrakin, but Tashmishe Kedusha are Nikvar. And you have to bury them, and that's the way he explained that. Yeah?
And there must be a limit to how much Kedusha a human being would be considered even a Jew, because obviously if you have 10 people in one place, even if it wasn't in a shul, it should be good enough. You say the Kedusha there.
Shechina. I mean, you have Shechina, yeah.
Say, but
Beis HaKnesses.
what's the reason is it necessary to consider the Torah? Is there to consider some kedusha emanating from there? Because and we're also saying the same thing with the human being, Jew,
right?
Also some kedusha.
Yeah, but there is such a thing that we find as kedusha based on knesses, which has obviously an elevated level of kedusha above and beyond our homes.
And how does it tie into? Does this tie at all to not saying tachanun with your head down when there's sacred Torah? Does it tie at all?
I think that's something else. Yeah, I think so. So with this background in mind, now that we understand the difference between Tashmishei Kedusha and Tashmishei Mitzvah, we're going to look at the Mardechai, which is number 5 on the Sur sheet, the Mardechai in the first parak in Baba Basra. It says the Mardechai as follows. What do we assume by the din of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin when it comes to Tashmishei Mitzvah? For example, the Gemara gave us examples of Tashmishei Mitzvah. I have a sukkah, a shofar, a lulav, items which are only used for a mitzvah for a certain period of time, and now that I'm finished with the mitzvah, what would you assume? So anyone's gut reaction would be, what? Is there a din malam hakodesh v'lo maridin by tashmishei mitzvah? L'chora not. Why? Because if you're allowed to throw it in the garbage, so what do you mean? What's the shayach to talk about malam hakodesh v'lo maridin? So it says the Mardechai as follows. B'parak kam de'erichin, tana rabbanim, Yisrael she'esnadim menorah u'ner l'beis ha'knesses. I have someone in the shul who donates a very fancy chandelier. He donates something that the shul is going to use. Says the Gemara, Aser l'shanosa. I'm not allowed to change it from its original dedication. Pirish Rabbeinu Meir. So the Mardechai is now talking b'shem Rabbeinu Meir, one of the Balei HaTosfos. The Tzarech Lomar. You have to say that this is talking about Shadikran Ishtamish Behem Bedliku B'Beis HaKnesses. Obviously, this is talking about a case where you already hung the chandelier up, it's already been used in the shul, and now it's considered a Tashmishei Mitzvah. The Lohadliku Behem, because if it's just sitting in our garage and we didn't yet put it up, I feel the dvarishus mutar l'shanos because we paskin hazman alav nilsa. Okay, now look at the next line. Aval mishen ashtamish b'dvar mitzvah. But once this chandelier was hung up in the shul to be used as a dvar mitzvah, and now we would call it tashmishei mitzvah because now it's being used as a mitzvah in the shul. Asur l'shanos al dvar harishus. One is not allowed to change it or use it for any purpose of a rishus. I feel aval l'dvar mitzvah mutar l'shanoso. I feel l'dvar mitzvah d'pechusa minei. Says the Mardechai. We would be allowed to use this chandelier for a purpose which is less chashuv than this. For example, let's say we have the main shul and we're going to have a big chandelier and it's up for 10 years, and now someone dedicates a much fancier one. So what are we going to do with the first one? So we'll put it in the youth group's room, right? In the room where they have the kids playing on Shabbos. It's also a mitzvah. It's also a mitzvah, right? We're going to have whatever's going to be going on in there. It's also a mitzvah, but obviously it's not the same level of mitzvah as it would have been in the shul. So says the Mardechai, that would be permissible. Why? Because we're only dealing with Tashmishei Mitzvah. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch Yeridei, Reish Nun Tesif Gimel, which I have here, that's number Vav, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, and he says, Yisrael Sheh Esnadiv Nero Menorah LeBeis HaKnesses. I have a Jewish person who dedicates some sort of item to the shul. Im Neshtaka Sheh Mbailam Heimena She'eda Nikris Al Shemo Yecholim HaTzibor L'Shanosa Afilu L'Dvar HaRishus. And then the Rama adds on, Afilu Im HaMesnadiv Mochet. Even if you're jumping up and down and saying, well, what do you mean? I dedicated this chandelier. I have no interest in it being used for the youth groups. I want to use it for the shul. Still, if the people in the shul don't even remember anymore who gave it, nobody cares anymore. So we assume you would be allowed to take it and downgrade it and use it for a different purpose. Now, we have a machlekes in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel. When it comes to tzitzis, is a person just stam allowed to take his baguette of tzitzis and take off the strings just for no good reason? So the Gemara is a machlokes if matir mi baguette le baguette. Am I allowed to take my tzitzis off from this baguette and put it onto the new baguette that I bought? So in that case, we paskin, one is allowed to do so because it's being used for another mitzvah. But what if this baguette is perfectly fine? This baguette is totally fine. So am I allowed to take my tzitzis off of this baguette and just throw them out? So the Gemara says, everyone agrees in that case in Shulchan Aruch Paskin that would not be permissible because it's still b'zman mitzvah, so I can still use these tzitzis as a beged for tzitzis now. So that would be considered a bizayon hakadusha. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah writes, one is not allowed to take, if I have a beged of tzitzis, I'm not allowed to take my tzitzis, untie them, and put them onto a tzitzis of a kata. Why? Because my tzitzis were chayiv midaraisa. The katan tzitzis are only chayim midirabbanon, so that's malam makodesh v'lo maridin. And when does the Mardechai say that we have to assume that there's no isra malam makodesh v'lo maridin by tashmishei mitzvah? That's only after this malam mitzvah is over, after I'm finished with my lulav and esrog, and after I'm finished with my tzitzis because they ripped so much that I don't need them anymore. That's when I assume you're allowed to throw them out, and there's no inyan of malam makodesh velo moridim. So there's a famous Yerushalmi which is quoted in many different places. The Yerushalmi writes in Shabbos Perek Habona, Keresh Zacha li nasim atzafon la'olam atzafon. Right? We have this Rashi quotes on a Chumash. When they used to erect the Mishkan and they used to put up different beams in different places, so the Yerushalmi tells us that you have to be careful. This is the Makar for the Isser of Ksivan Shabbos, because they used to write on each Keresh, on each beam, exactly where it went. Who cares where the beams went? They were all the same. Yerushalmi says, no, the Keresh that had the schus of being on the Tzafon, which was the more chashuv part of the Beis HaMikdash, always had to be on that side of the Beis HaMikdash, and you had to be careful that it didn't end up on the Darum. In fact, in the Tziv writes in the Haimek Dabar that this is based off a pasuk. I don't know how he sees it exactly, but he says based off a pasuk of Vishemus Tifkadu as called Klei Mishmeres Masal. So what does that mean? So the Netziv explains, Vishemus Tifkadu, on every single little beam you have to write Aleph Beis Gimel Dalid, you have to write exactly where it belonged, and therefore when you take it down and put it back up again, everything will be in its proper place. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says, based on this Yerushalmi, if a person decides that he needs to remodel his shul, and now we want to make things look a little differently, so the Chassam Sofer points out that a person should be careful that he puts the bima right back in the same place where it was in the first place, because Keresh Hazachli Nasam Atzafon Yiv Atzafon. If I originally designed the shul that I want the bima to be in this specific place, so the shul has no right to now choose to move the bima to a different place. Obviously, there are ways of doing it properly, but the Chassam Sofer says it has to be taken into consideration. Maram Shik writes in a tshuva, let's say one side of the Sefer Torah Zatzei Chaim is getting worn out. Let's say when we're doing the Bereishis Parsha, so we always roll one side. So it's starting to get worn out, so we decide we're going to undo it and switch it with the left side. So is that permissible? So the Maram Shik says, well, over there, that is considered one item. There's no kapeta to be on the right side or the left side, because once I'm attached to the Sefer Torah, I'm attached to the Sefer Torah. What's the difference if I'm on the right or the left? There's no significance of being on the right side or the left side in that case. So based on this, the Berhetiv writes in Siman Tafresh Lamed B'Shem the Maharil that a person should be careful after Sukkot as well to write on the different panels of his Sukkah. This one was panel number one, this was number two, this was number three, because we want to make sure that all the Tefanos go up in the same exact place as they were last year. Frek the Aruch Laner, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Aruch Laner. What do you mean? What? You can throw them out, exactly. Just like the Mardechai said, when it comes to Tashmishei Mitzvah, there is no Indian of Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridim, because a person can throw them out in the garbage. He doesn't need them at all. So how can you tell me I have to be careful that I write on all the panels of my Sukkah, 1, 2, 3, 4, that's only in the Mishkan. Because in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, there was a significance to the right side as opposed to the left side, to the Tzafon as opposed to the Darum. But over here by the Sukkah, there is no more Kedusha on one side than the other. In fact, these are Tashmishei Mitzvah, and a person has every right just to throw them out and dispose of them altogether. So a little bit of a sensitive topic, which will be one of the last things we talk about, is the Magen Avraham. What about an Atara on top of your talis? So the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Chesiv Katan Vav, quoting from the Shalah, that based on this Yerushalmi, a person should be careful to always have an Atara on the front of his talis, so that this way he knows which is the front, which is the back, which is the top, which is the bottom. Okay? Interesting chiddush of the Shalah. The Magen Avraham then goes on to quote that the Arizal was not makbid for this at all. And the Arizal said it doesn't make a difference. You can put on your talus however you want. Every day you can switch. You can put it upside down, inside out, and it doesn't make a difference at all. So there are many different explanations given why the Arizal was not generally makbid on having a atar on his talus. One suggestion is based on a medrash by Yaakov Avinu that we find by Yaakov Avinu that all the stones were fighting with each other. Right, Alaya Niach Tzadikus Rosho, I want to be under Yaakovina, I want to be. So what did Rabban Shalom do? Famous Medrash. They made them all into one stone. So Frekta El Yerabah, quoting from his, exactly, Frekta El Yerabah, quoting from his grandfather, what does that help? So now what happens? You have Yaakovina lying down. You think all the stones were still touching his head? I want to be under his brain, I want to be under this. Lamaisa, when you lay on a pillow, the whole pillow doesn't touch your head. So the answer is, says the El Yerabah, because they all turned into one. Once it's one Chetzah, so now it doesn't make a difference if you're the right side, the left side, you're part of the Chepsa Shel Kedusha. That's the way they explain by Yaakov Avinu, that there was no fighting anymore once they became one stone, and that's why everything was okay. So that's the way some want to explain the practice of the Arizal, why he wasn't makbid to put an atar on his talis, because what's the difference? Once it's one Chepsa of Kedusha, once it's one talis, it doesn't make a difference if it's the top, the bottom, if you wear it inside or outside, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever.
If you don't have a
The Shari Tshuva, one second. The Shari Tshuva does quote this Medrash. It's not just a joke. The Shari Tshuva in Siman Mem Beis does quote this Medrash Lahalacha from the Aliyah Rabban. He says, what Siman Mem Beis is about tefillin. Over there he's talking about, let's say you have a pair of tefillin. So I have the top of the Ritzua was tied onto the bias, and the bottom is wrapped around my fingers. So very often I pull after so many months or so many years, so it starts getting worn out. So I can't afford to buy a new Ritzua. So what do? Take out the whole thing, and I'll flip it. I'll put the part of the Ritzua which is getting worn out at the top, and I'll use the fresher part of the Ritzua on the bottom. So is that permissible or not? So the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Aliyah Rabba that should be permissible based on this Medrash by Yaakov Avinu, because a Ritzua is a Ritzua. Once it's connected to the tefillin, doesn't make a difference if it's on the top, on the bottom. There's no more chashivas to being on the top of the tefillin or on the bottom of the tefillin. Everything is fine. However, the Magen Avram, La Halacha, disagrees. Says, no, what do you mean? If it's closer to the bias, it's closer to the parshias, you do not have a right to switch it around. And he says that we can't really bring raya's La Halacha from some interesting Medrash by Yaakov Avinu. We don't really know exactly what happened there. It could be the whole thing was a nace. Could be the whole thing was a little bit different. And we shouldn't really bring raya's from there. So back to the Atara story. So the Levush and the Eliyahu Rabba write that a person specifically should not put on an Atara. Why? Because we have a concern that one is going to think that the ikar of the talis, since it has the silver on it, you're going to think the ikar of the talis is on your head. And we know if a person only has a talis on his head, it's not a kosher talis, right? The reformed talisim that only go around your head, that's not a real talis. It has to cover your body. So that's why the Levush and the Eliyahu Rabba write that a person should be careful not, specifically not to put an atar on his talis. Aruch HaShulchan writes the same. So the Malbim in his Pirush on Shulchan Aruch writes in the Arz HaChaim, it's quoted by the Acharonim, that, what do you mean, many of us do have the practice of putting an atar on the talis. So the Malbim writes, okay, upshar, the way to get out of this concern of the Levush is to put an atar on the top, and then like the Chassidus HaRebbe's, put a silver atar in the middle, so that everyone will know that the whole talis is chashiv. There's no more chashivas to the top than to the bottom. Everything is wonderful. Okay, so that's interesting.
In Israel, they make now ataras that look like silver, but since silver costs so much, it's not real silver.
Mm-hmm.
So they have an atar, but yet it's not silver, so it's kind of
old business. Ah, so it's a piece of junk.
But it looks like it's silver, so it covers, both sheets.
Why?
Because he's putting on something, so you remember which side to put it on.
So it's not so fancy. Okay, interesting. So the Maram Shik questions the whole assumption in the first place. Ask the Maram Shik. What do you mean? There is no reason by a talis that we have to show any more level of chashivas to the top than to the bottom. What's the difference? It's a tashmishe mitzvah, like we saw in the Mordechai. When it comes to tashmishe mitzvah, if we know that you're allowed to throw your talis out once it rips or once you're finished with it, you're allowed to throw it out in the garbage, how can you talk about malam hakodesh v'lo merinin? It's just not applicable whatsoever. So that's the way the Maram Shik explains. That's why the Arizal wasn't concerned about the Atara. Because the Tashmishe Mitzvah never have this principle of Malam HaKodesh V'lom HaRidin, and therefore it would not make a difference which way you wear your talis, because the whole talis is a Tashmishe Mitzvah which a person is allowed to use in any way he would like to use it at all. So that's the way the Maram Shik explains this Arizal, and that's just a little bit of Halach HaLamayis that comes out of this Mardechai. Yes? Right? Right. So they write that you are supposed to write, make some sort of simon on it. I mean, that's Tali on the Smagen Avram. Do you have an Atara on your talis?
Yes.
You do? So then you have to be careful by the tzitzis also. Same.
Doesn't everybody have Atara really now?
So you're talking about the nice thing that they have in the front.
That's
the same Atara. So I looked that up. So some say, I forgot who I saw this from, not someone recently. Apparently this was already an old minhag that they used to have another piece of what?
Is that also practically?
So that's what he says. The minhag always was they had another piece of cloth on the top like we have now, and he said it's just that it shouldn't wear out because you're always pulling that part, or because it's touching your tefillin, some people pull it over their tefillin, so it's going to rip. So the minhag always was that you put another piece of cloth on the top just that it should be extra protection that it shouldn't rip. But it seems that that's not really what. It's not a real atar, right. The Magen Avraham is really talking about a fancy silver atar, which is what the Levush has issue with. How can you use that if you know that you're not allowed to show any more significance to the Shel Rosh than to the rest of the body, because the ikra of the talus is not on the head. The ikra of the talus is wrapped around your body. That's what Atifa really means, around the entire body. Well, the Magen Avraham quotes the Shalah that a person should, just like we find in the Yushalmi, that they used to write letters on all the crushim. But then the Magen Avraham, in the next sentence, quotes the Arizal that said it doesn't make any sense.
Chabad makes no wearing.
Right. Chabad doesn't even have the cloth on the top. Right. Right. The Chassidim all have the Ataris. So they follow the minig of the Shalot. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva. Rav Moshe writes in Chelek Ches in a tshuva to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt that if a person grew up and his family always had an Ataris, so you shouldn't take it off. That's what he says. He said that Sodom Lakan Lakan. There's the Shalot and the Arizal, both very... very chashuv of poskim, people to rely on, as we all know. So Rav Moshe writes, if you already have an atar on your talis, you shouldn't take it off. However, if a person is just stam looking for menhagim and he's looking to do new things, Rav Moshe himself wrote that he was makpid not to have an atarah. And Rav Moshe writes that if a person doesn't have a minhag either way, it's better that he should not have it because of the tainus that the achronim have. Yeah.
Most people wear the atarah on Shabbos on anyways.
Mm-hmm. Gotta ask them. I don't know. Yeah.
So they have the cloth.
Your father-in-law buys you a talis. That's what you wear.
Yeah, I remember my sister married someone who from Brooklyn whose family wears ataras, and I remember when he came to buy the talis, my father said, well, you know, you really shouldn't have an atar. Remember my father wrote out for him all the Mar Mekoymas, and he said, do whatever you want, but, you know, I don't... I don't suggest it. What? He didn't even offer. Never. Have a word with him. But, in the end, my brother-in-law did get one, but it was against my father's wishes. But anyway, okay. Whatever it is, it's not his business. He said, whatever your minhag is, you can do whatever you want. Just, I personally would not recommend it. Okay, so if we turn over, we'll see something interesting, and with this, we will close something on this week's parsha. So we know all the Shvatim, each one had a different maila, each one had a different characteristic. So over here, the Psukim tell us about Yisachar. Yisachar chamagarim rovitz bein hamishpasayim. So what is it about Yisachar? We all know Yisachar was the Amud HaTorah. Yisachar was the one who personified Limud HaTorah and Klal Yisrael. So what is it about him that we consider to be a chamor? Why do we call him a donkey specifically? Well, what significance does that have? So in this beautiful snippet from the Sefer Lekach Tov, so he writes the following idea from Rav Tzvi Markowitz, who is the Rosh Hashiva in Panovich, or one of them. Depends whose side you're on. Okay. So Rav Tzvi Markowitz is obviously a Chashev Yid, and I think he's the Rosh Hashiva in Panovich. So he writes the following: La'or ha'hevdal shebein derech menuchas ha'chamor, lebein darko shel hasus be'eis menuchaso. Says Rav Tzvi Markowitz, he thinks the reason why Yisachar is called a chamor is because we have to look at the way a chamor takes a relaxation period, and the way a sus takes a relaxation period. Says Rav Markowitz as follows, Kasher hasus shav miyom avod. So a sus is tired out, and it's been working like crazy all day long, so what does it do? Comes back, goes into the stable, you have to take off all the leashes, take off all the muzzles, and it goes running around hefker like crazy, and that is the way it relaxes. However, a chamor, what happens when it has a hard day of work? What happens when it needs a rest? So you don't unload the packages, you just find it a nice quiet place on the side of the road. And as we know, the chamor just sits down, it lays down on the side of the road with all the packages on top of its back. No problem, you give it a few hours to rest and it's ready to go. Says Rav Markowitz beautifully that this is why Shevet Yisachar, which is the Amud HaTorah, this is why they are called chamor. Because as we know, we're all Lomdei Torah. In the second paragraph he says, Shevet Yisachar yadua k'shevet Lomdei Torah. Achas ha-bechinus leben Torah amiti. How do you know? How do you know the defining characteristic of a person who really has Yira Shemayim, who really is a Ben Torah? How do you know if that person is really a through and through, a bona fide person who really cares about Torah and Yira Shemayim? So you look at what he does on his downtime. When he goes away on vacation, does he act hefker? Does he act like a sus? Does he just go around and forget about all the Torah mitzvahs? Does he not care about a minyan? Does he not care about putting on tefillin every day? Is he not makbid on zmanei tefillah? Or do we assume that even when he goes away, even when he goes on his menucha, even when he goes on his rest, he's like the chamor? He goes on the side of the road. You're right. Everyone needs a rest. Everyone needs downtime. But does he leave his packages on him? Does he make sure that his Torah mitzvahs is still anchoring him, is always guiding him, is always going to be with him, even in his time when he's on menucha, even when in time when he goes on a vacation, which he very much needs? How does he act? So that's the way Rav Markowitz explains why Yisachar is specifically considered like a chamor, and the pasuk does not tell us that he's like a sus. My father told me when I showed this to him today, he told me that at his Shavar Brachas, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein got up and started talking about Herschel, who is a donkey, and my grandparents, my mother's parents, who did not know English so well, but were Europeans, couldn't understand why My father at his Sheva Brachos was the biggest praise was that he was a donkey. So they didn't understand that this is what he had in mind. But apparently Rabban Lichtenstein had the same type of shot. That this is why Yisachar was called a chamar, because he makes sure that even on his downtime, even when he takes a vacation that he very much needs, he makes sure that the packages are always on his back, that he always remembers what is chavasa hamutal alav, and what the right way of directing himself is. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.
Sure. How are you?
You didn't get him that.